For many people, going on holiday is an exciting time, all the planning and so on. But what if you are a guide dog owner and you want to take your dog abroad? What should you do? Well, we have with us Caroline Golden from Guide Dogs and Chris Theobald as well to chat through the health and the legalities of doing that. Is it advisable then for guide dog owners to perhaps speak with guide dogs if they're thinking about doing something like this?
Yes, it certainly is. First of all, I would speak to your guide dog mobility specialist about taking your dog, whether they think it will be suitable for your dog. Not all dogs have got a personality where they can cope so readily with a new environment. And certainly if your dog is going to be working abroad, then they've got to learn new routes. It could be more challenging for them than their day-to-day. But I would also urge clients to be speaking to their health and welfare specialist as well, who can provide that extra support in terms of health. And really, you also need to be speaking to your local vet, because there are quite a few administrative hurdles to get through before taking your dog abroad.
Interesting to describe it as hurdles, Caroline, but I suppose these are necessary things to do. When you are talking with your vet, what kind of things are they going to be looking at? And is it destination specific, some of it?
So it's definitely worth checking the specific requirements for the country that you're travelling to, and any countries that you will be travelling through on your way there, even if it's literally just a stop off in the airport on the way. You need to comply with the regulations for each individual country. As a general rule, our dogs need to have a rabies vaccination given. For European destinations within the EU, that needs to be given a minimum of 21 days before you travel. Day after the vaccination is when the clock starts ticking. So really you need to give yourself a little bit more than 3 weeks for the rabies vaccination. And then if you are likely to be travelling regularly, then it's worth keeping up with the booster vaccinations with that. In addition, other countries will ask for particular requirements. So some dogs might need to have a blood test to prove that they have responded adequately to the rabies vaccination. Other countries may ask for a tapeworm treatment to be given within a certain time frame before you arrive in their country. So it is worth checking out the small detail and making sure that you're going to be able to comply with that, and checking that your vet is able to help you with the paperwork side of things. So the dogs do need to travel on a health certificate, and you'll need a government authorised vet, so we call them an official vet, to fill out the paperwork. And often that paperwork actually needs to be preceded by an application form. So it is a case of making sure you fully understand what you need and planning as far in advance as you can.
And I suppose the cost implications as well, Caroline, for doing something like this. It sounds as if there could be a lot involved depending on where you're going.
That's right. I would say the rabies vaccination itself, there's quite a variation in cost, but I would put it probably somewhere between £80 and £120. And then if you're travelling to the EU on the animal health certificate, then vets will charge usually somewhere between £150 and £250. And you need a new one of those, unfortunately, for each trip. So it can get pricey if you're going to be traveling regularly. It can get expensive. On top of that, you also have to consider whether your dog is going to be exposed to particularly parasites or diseases that are perhaps carried by some of those parasites in other countries. Particularly the warmer countries, they have a much higher risk of diseases that aren't present within the UK, and you need to be thinking ahead and doing preventative treatments before you even leave the UK in most cases. So you do also need to factor that in as well.
And that's before you have to pay for your dog's actual transport or travel to wherever you're going as well. Chris, if I can bring you in, as Caroline mentioned about the health certificate and so on, and we talked about some of the medical requirements here. People will probably be familiar with pet passports in the past, but there were changes with that and changes to where they apply from. I suppose there's some more news on that as well.
Yes, so when the UK left the European Union, it was in 2021, some of the details came into effect, but essentially Great Britain, so England, Scotland and Wales, are no longer a part of the Pet Passport scheme. And as Caroline outlined, you have to use an animal health certificate to travel. Northern Ireland is part of the Pet Passport scheme because they're part of the customs union, and that has caused the additional costs in terms of the animal health certificates that's been outlined. But the intention has always been to rejoin Pet Passports because there are some non-EU members such as Norway, and we have had some progress on that. So the EU and the UK government have agreed in principle, and we were due to have a bit of an update on the 22nd of July at a EU-UK summit, but that was delayed due to a change of the UK Prime Minister. So that's now been pushed back, and that we should confirm that the various agreements that underpin pet passports to make sure that there's the same standards around animal health and food health, etc., that are need to be in place should be agreed. So earlier this year, there was a provisional timeline of the UK fully rejoining pet passports in 2027. So that may have to be revisited due to the delays, but it is the intention. We will be rejoining pet passports. So as Caroline's outlined, there are still a lot of considerations to go through, and there are still requirements for getting vaccinations and so forth. But it would be slightly easier in the sense you wouldn't need to get necessarily an animal health certificate to travel to pet passport members every single time. So that should ease up on some of those costs of those AHCs, which are set by the vets themselves. So that's why the price varies so considerably.
Well, no doubt we'll get more on that as time goes on. Chris, good to chat to you as we get nearer that time, or if we have any news on those pet passports. Caroline, if your dog takes ill or is injured abroad, are there any procedures that guide dogs recommend that an owner does straight away?
Certainly, before you even travel, I would be looking at where you might be able to access veterinary care when you are abroad, because certainly if your dog is poorly when you're abroad, it's a really stressful situation for anyone to be in. So you want to sort of already know those addresses or emergency numbers of places that can help you, considering also the opening hours of the practices and where the out of hours practices may be located. If your dog does become unwell, please do still contact our guideline or out of hours numbers, just as you normally would do. We're certainly there to help support and, if necessary, communicate directly with the vets to get the best outcome for your dog. But it is stressful if you're going through that process, and certainly if your dog is then unwell and you can't travel back at the pre-arranged dates, then there's extra complications, unfortunately. I probably ought to just mention as well, depending on where your destination is, do also consider what the temperatures are like. Obviously, we've been living through the heat wave this summer, and I know a lot of guide dog owners have been quite inconvenienced, but very rightly putting their dogs first and not working them in the higher temperatures, sort of 25 degrees and above. It starts to get quite difficult for our dogs. You do need to be mindful as to what the conditions will be like when you get there and how appropriate it might be to be able to work your dog, and do you know how you're going to get around if your dog is unable to work due to the heat.
Absolutely. Would veterinary bills then be the responsibility of the guide dog owner if the dog was ill or injured abroad?
As it stands, then yes, that is another consideration. So within the UK, guide dogs will have agreements with veterinary practices up and down the country, and they will invoice us directly. We have no agreements with any veterinary practices outside of the UK, so that responsibility does fall to the guide dog owner.
A lot to think about here before even taking your dog abroad. And I suppose, is there anything that the owner should do when they return to the UK, when they return home again?
That's a really good question as well. So absolutely, if you're returning to the UK, then from almost every country, there are again one or two exceptions, but your dog is likely to need a treatment for tapeworm, which needs to be given within a set time frame, so within 1 to 5 days before you return to the UK, and it's measured in hours, so it's between 24 and 120 hours. You need to find a vet who is again certified to be administering that treatment and signing it on your animal health certificate before you can re-enter the UK. Obviously, your dog needs to have a working microchip, which certainly all of our dogs will have that, but it's worth having that checked to make sure that it is reading easily before you leave the UK on your journey as well.
And are there any places that the guide dogs would say or would not recommend people go with their dogs? I know you mentioned very hot places earlier.
I wouldn't single out any particular place, but I would do your research well before you go. It is worth considering that you won't necessarily have the same access rights with your dog wherever you travel to. And I think each country can be quite different as to how they apply the rules and regulations in their country, whether they're happy for a dog to be entering, for example, a establishment that serves food. So again, that's something further to consider.
Well, lots of important information there. We've gone over that quite quickly, but if people would like to find out more, thinking about taking the guide dog abroad, what's the first thing they should do, Caroline?
So I'd recommend getting in touch with your guide dog mobility specialist or your health and welfare specialist through the guideline number. They will be used to these kind of questions and they'll be able to support you and signpost you. We do also have pages on our guide dog's website, which can also go into some of the detail about what your rights are as a guide dog owner and what sort of airlines and things are obliged to provide in terms of access for you and your dog.
And as Caroline says, do have a look at guidedogs.org.uk. Follow to Chris and to Caroline. Thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.